Speak to us, Lord God, that we would then go out and do, Lord God. Speak to us, Father God, that we would never lose hope, God. Father God, for our hope rests in you. And the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. I'm just going to share a quick word here, a word that the Lord has given us. And if you go to the book of Luke in the 24th chapter. And when we get to the 24th chapter, go down to verses 17 through 23. And we're going to read a few verses there. And Luke, the 24th chapter 3, and we're going to read the New Living Translation today. The New Living Translation today. And Jesus is talking, and Jesus is talking, and Jesus is talking. He says that he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written all across their faces. Then one of them, Cleophas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened, the only person that has not heard what has happened the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people." And then we're going to go to verses 20 through 23, and he says, "But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped," it was said, "we had hoped," they were talking, "we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive." They said they seen angels. They saw angels, and he told them Jesus is alive.
Thank you, Lord.
And so today we're just going to continue. We say that last week we said, "Didn't you hear?" And today is, "Didn't you hear?" Part two. Didn't you hear? Didn't you hear what is happening? Didn't you hear when we were talking last week in Isaiah, and Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, what? Comfort ye my people. And they went on, and he said in verse 8, what? These are the things that we have to do according to the word that God has promised that he would make sure and make a way for you. He said, "But didn't you hear?" And then he said what? Down in verse 28, he said, "Look at this. Look at this." He said, Hast thou not heard what? That the everlasting God, the Lord God, the creator of the ends of the earth, faileth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his." He said, "Didn't you hear?" Isaiah said, "Haven't you heard that God," what? "God is still in control." And then he ended up, he said, what? "But they that wait upon the Lord,
my God,
they shall do what? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They what? They shall walk in." Number, didn't you hear? That the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't you hear that the God of David, the God of Israel, didn't you hear that the God of Isaiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel, didn't you hear that the God of all the children that will surrender to him, didn't you hear that Jesus is still a way-making God? Didn't you hear that Jesus is alive? Didn't you hear that what? Corona can't stop him? Didn't
Hallelujah.
You hear that those who died that the world say die ain't dead if they know Christ? They're just at sleep. Didn't you hear?
My God.
And today, as he was walking around along the road to Emmaus, and these two men were having a conversation. They were having conversations like we've been having conversations for the last few months. Y'all know how we are. We've been locked up. We've been bound up. We can't go this way and that way. So we're having conversations. Even in our workplace, we're having conversations. When you look at the TV and you're looking at the daily news report 2 or 3 times a day, we're having conversations. Nobody understands. How many of y'all would be willing to just shout amen that you've been talking back at the TV?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I know you've been talking to the TV, whether you liked it or not. You've been talking at that TV too. You've been saying, "Yeah, that's true. And no, I don't like that. And I'm so sick." I don't know what else you've been saying, but we've been having conversations. People have been having conversations with other people. Didn't you hear today that Brother Tony had a conversation with Hector who had been disappearing and not calling? Didn't you hear that Deacon Solomon had a conversation with a young folk, one of the young people, and he said, well, they had some issues, they had some challenges, but before it was over, didn't you hear that they heard about Jesus and Jesus was going to make everything all right?
My God.
Didn't you hear? So what are we hearing? What are we hearing? Well, let's look at what this word says. Look at what this word says. First thing today, can anything else happen today? Can anything else go wrong? Well, it's right there in the scripture, y'all. It's right there in the scripture. If you look at Luke verses 13 through 18, it says, wait a minute, y'all. Can anything else go wrong? Two of them that same day went to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. Said they talked together, all the things which are going on. They went down and they looked at this thing and they were discussing current events. I don't know about you, but they were talking about, well, look at what we thought was going to happen. Didn't happen. We thought this was the Messiah, y'all. They thought this was the Messiah, y'all. They thought that what? We were going to be okay. Why did they think that? What did they see? God had done what? Miracles. God had performed things that they had never seen done. You my know Lord, the stories, don't you? What had God done for them? He had what? Raised Lazarus from the dead. Y'all know that, right? Raised Lazarus. He had done what? When there were so many people coming to see about Jesus and they didn't have no food, it was sort of like folks today ain't got enough food. Somebody showed up with loads of food, and somebody, what, a little old boy had 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread, and Jesus said, that's enough.
My God.
The disciples said, send them away, we ain't got no more. But Jesus said, we got enough, just bring me what they got. And he prayed over, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he began to pass it out. And don't you understand that today somebody don't have enough, but God is making enough.
Man. Thank
somebody,
you, Lord.
Somebody thank didn't you. Have enough, but God is making a way. When I heard a lady on TV the other day say, look, I've been feeding these homeless folks, and they come to me, and I don't have enough food, but I need some more food. And she said, look, you who got money, basketball players and actors and movie stars, y'all send me some. And she said, that football player, she got an old football player, showed up with some money. She said that Matt Forte came through and others have been coming through and all of a sudden there are truckloads of food.
Sam.
Yeah. And there are truckloads of clothes. How many people today, as we talked about these things, they've been despondent, they've been hopeless, they've been discouraged, they don't know what they're going to do. And somebody's asking, mercy, can anything else go wrong today? The world is on lockdown.
My God.
Can anything else go wrong today? Between last week and this week, somebody on this call, somebody on this worship service today has found that somebody close to them got the corona. That somebody they know now got the corona. That somebody else, what, done died from the corona. This thing is getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, it's knocking on some front. I found out this week that my mama, her brother, and his whole household got the corona. And he already got health issues, but he got the corona. But I also found out this week that even though he went to the hospital with the corona and he got COPD and all the rest of what, they sent him home because he's doing
hallelujah.
All right. So he's a believer.
Hallelujah.
Said, my God is able. My God will take care of me. So he didn't worry about the death. He went on home with the corona.
My God.
But he said, but Jesus has got me. So when we look at this current affairs and it says what's going on, they were just having a conversation. Now, mind you, they didn't have their Starbucks or whatever your coffee of choice is or your drink of choice just to have a kind of chit-chat. They were walking on the road because they had to travel. And while they were traveling, something interesting happened. It says what? That Jesus showed up.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know about you,
God.
But how
thank
many
you for showing up, Jesus.
Have interrupted your conversation? I know nobody did. No stranger did because y'all know how we are with strangers. Hey, who are you? What you listening to me for? You ain't got nothing. This is an A and B conversation. See your way out. You know, your name is Bennett. You ain't in this. I don't want to talk to you. Hey, you're Republican or you Democrat? No, or you believe evangelical or you believe this and you don't believe that or you don't believe it. I ain't got time to talk to you. But along the road to Emmaus, as they were traveling back and they were pondering all the craziness that had happened. and understand that there were some things that happened that were not positive to them. It says, we thought. They thought. Mm. They thought he was the Messiah. Amen. The Messiah wasn't going to die. Mm. They thought that because they didn't listen.
My God.
And how many of us today are thinking things because we haven't listened?
Mercy, Lord.
Jesus had told them that what? The Messiah, the one who come to deliver them, had to do what? Spend 3 days. 3 days in the grave, what? 3 days and three nights in the grave. He told them that he had to die, but they didn't think that the Messiah would die. The Messiah would never die. Not he told God. Prophecy, he said, let me expound unto you all the things that had to happen. He said, but it had to happen. But they couldn't remember what had to happen. They only remember what they could see.
My God.
How many of us today, we're only remembering what we could see in front of us?
Amen.
Mercy.
You've been
Lord.
Locked up now for 3 weeks. Ooh, that's rough, but I made it. But now you're saying I got 3 more weeks to go. And I don't know what I'm going to do about these 3. I'm getting stir crazy. The kids are driving me nuts. I need to breathe some fresh air. I need to get up out of here. Nobody can lock me in, but you still going, well, I got to do what they say, but you're not remembering what Jesus said. He said, 3 days. That's what was going on. But then he opened up the truth to them. He opened up the truth to them in verses 25 through 27. He said, well, then he said, oh, you fools. Oh, you slow of heart. He said, you're not even remembering. You're so out of it. You're not connected to the truth. I don't want to use those other adjectives the word used, but you done forgot about what I told you.
My God, my God.
Now, when he said, oh, you fools, you could put any other language, and I'm not using no derogatory language, but a slow of heart to believe. You heard me, but you didn't believe me. You saw me, but you didn't believe me. You know of me, but you don't believe me. How many
Sound
of us,
preacher.
We know what God said. We know he said, I've given you power. We know he said, I've given you victory. We've seen the victory. I don't need to remind you. Go back to Hurricane Katrina when they said nothing would ever recover. But look what God did.
My God, my God.
Oh, if I had time and I had a voice, I would just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the young boy said, well, why are you calling on Jesus? He said, boy, you don't understand. He said, he's a healer, healer, healer.
Yes.
He said, again, what do you mean? They still say, oh, my young friend, you still don't understand. He said, provider, provider, provider. And oh, somebody said, but you still don't understand. Then he said, thank you. Why would
thank you, Jesus.
Because my
thank
God
you, Jesus.
Has provided a way for me to get through that nobody can. You already got your way out. You already got deliverance out of your house. You got deliverance from corona. You got deliverance from doubt. You got deliverance from fear. And Jesus once again will do what he said he will do.
Say on, preacher.
That's the truth, y'all. So we got to be reminded of the truth. And if you don't believe me, go to Deuteronomy. Just look over in Deuteronomy and read it for yourself, because God did something. When God does something, it is complete. Deuteronomy 33 and 2. Look at Deuteronomy 33 and 2. And it says what? And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from the sea unto them, but shine what? But shine forth what? From Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 saints, what? From his right hand with the fiery law for them. He said, look, look, this was the blessing that Moses was praying before he died. Moses said, look, God has already done what God was going to do, and he's going to keep doing it. And here we are today looking at Luke, and God is doing it again. God has shown up with 2 walking along the way. He done died. He done rose. He's got all power, and folks are still doubting. But the promise that Moses prayed and the blessing he gave before he died is being fulfilled right here.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And us on the other side, that down through the years, God has been blessing us. Down through the years, God has been good to us. Down through the years, we know what God has been doing. And here we are still standing in some doubt. Oh, hallelujah. And if you don't have to believe there, go to Exodus 4 and 22 and 23, because God's promises don't change. You know what he said in Exodus, don't you? He was talking to somebody. And look what he says here. He says, look, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus the Lord is the Lord. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I shall say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Look,
Moses went
to Pharaoh, and God said, this is my son. Israel is my son. Can I tell you what? We were adopted into the family
because of
Jesus' birth, because Jesus had just got up out of the grave. He adopted us to we his sons and his daughters.
Say on,
he
preacher.
Said, let us go. So guess what? Speak today, speak tomorrow, speak all this week. Corona, let us go.
Hallelujah.
Let
hallelujah.
Us go. Fear,
hallelujah.
Let us go. Bondage, let us go.
Oh God. Oh God.
That's what I rejoice about today. Because when I told Brother Tony, when he first taught us about Hector, don't doubt anything. You speak to him what thus said the Lord, and we will watch him come back to who he is. And today we heard firsthand, and it's not by chance
that
it's Resurrection Sunday.
Yes,
God would not leave his sons and his daughters out there by himself. He said, brother, look, you know me, I'm in you. You might have a mental challenge right now, but that's okay because of all the things that are going on.
Amen.
My God. But
now, I need to just digress a moment and explain why this thing happened to us. See, hopefully some of y'all took some psychology, and I was just amazed. I was on the call with Deacon Solomon this week and our young people, and he dropped something in there with them that just made us understand how things work. But I think we need to the adults. I couldn't play the video today, but you're going to see the video and explain it. But there's a way in our bodies, and that's natural, that we are made. And our brain operates a certain thing. And it's of the world. It's not of the spirit. It's of the world. It's a physical thing in our brain. In our brain, there's this thing called the amygdala. And the amygdala is what controls our fear, flight, and fleeing thing. It controls the emotions that we have in our brain that cause us to do certain things. So whenever you're faced with a situation that you don't know that you have control over, you get afraid. And when you get afraid, the body starts acting a certain way. Some people, it breaks out in sweat. Some people, it gives anxiety. Some people, it gives doubt. Some people, it gives fear. All of a sudden, your body would make you want to eat. Other people, they want to drink. Other people, they want to do drugs. They just want this feeling to go away. But what happens with the amygdala, when it senses that something's not right, it wants to do something different. And that's the natural thing about it. I'm going to use an animal as an illustration. I've used this illustration before. Animals are controlled with the same thing with the amygdala. They will either flee, they will fight, or they will freeze. One of three things. I use a squirrel. I don't like squirrels, okay? But I use a squirrel. A squirrel's first thing that happens for them is to flee.
Yeah.
When you come near a squirrel and it's run, it will flee first. That's its first instinct. The next thing that they do, they will freeze. I know you've been driving down the street and there's a squirrel in the street that sees the car stop coming and it stops and it looks at you. It freezes. It's stunned. Deers do the same thing. Okay. And then it'll flee. But let me tell you to beware of something. If you get a squirrel that's got nowhere to flee, it's bound and cornered, then it will fight.
Yes.
And the squirrel will defeat 90% of the animals out there if it's locked in a corner. The claws are so powerful that it can swipe a lion's head and it will slice him up. The paws are so powerful that it will defeat whatever it faces. Dogs catch the squirrels when the squirrel is running. When the squirrel is locked up, the dog goes home to his burial ground. That's just the reality of if you know anything about hunting. And the same thing happens to us. When we're under fear, we either flee, we freeze, or we fight.
My God, my God.
And what happens is we flee by going, okay, I ain't going to deal with it. I'm going to take my walk to Emmaus. I'm going to have my conversation with somebody so I don't deal with it. I'm going to smoke a doobie. I'm going to drink some of this good stuff so I forget about it. Oh, matter of fact, no, I don't smoke or I don't drink and all that, but I'm going to eat myself into oblivion. Oh, matter of fact, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stop eating. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to start gossiping. Oh, no, I'm not going to gossip because that's not a good thing, but then I'm just going to listen to all everybody else's gossip, and that gossip starts feeding my brain, and when that stuff feeds our brain, we start to doubt and to fear, and all those emotions come
Mercy, Lord.
That's not how we're supposed to act. We're no longer physical beings. We operate in the spirit. We read it in 1 Corinthians 15. We talked about it in Sunday school. We are spiritual beings.
Yes.
But
yes.
The natural still happens to us. And so when the amygdala does what it does, it goes and feeds into the hypothalamus. And that creates all of these issues in our life. So watch me make this plain. Every time you turn on the news for the next time and the next time and the next time, and you hear the numbers keep going up about how many deaths and how this thing is spreading, and before long, and oh, not only that, but in the United States, we're the worst country in the world. We got so much of it. And then you hear somebody talk about, well, see, we prophesied on the plague in New York, this and that place and this place, and we're so selfish and all those other things. Your brain stops thinking about Jesus, and your brain starts putting you into your fear and your flee and your fright and your freezing. Some of us have stopped doing anything.
Mercy, Lord.
Now, let me tell you the danger. You're so caught up, but you ain't even praying. Some of us are fleeing other folks. God said, go speak to that person. No, I ain't talking to that person today. I can't say nothing to them. They might have a corona. I ain't going to call it corona. They might have a big C. The C can be cancer. It can be corona. Oh, they might have sin. Uh-oh, I can't talk to no sinner, y'all.
Mercy.
I ain't like that no
Mercy.
More. But guess
Mercy.
What? Drug addicts need to hear from some former drug addicts that what? They can get through it.
Yes.
Alcoholics need to hear from some former alcoholics.
My
you know
God.
What? I can stop drinking.
My God.
Whoremongers need to hear from some former whoremongers what? I can stop doing
Jesus.
That thing.
Jesus.
Somebody who was down need to hear from somebody who used to doubt no
My
doubt
God.
For what?
My
so
God.
They can stop doubt. Reach out. And Judas said, we got to snatch them
yes.
out of the fire. So that's the truth, y'all. Jesus said, look, Oh ye fools, oh ye, you don't believe this, oh ye that are not doing what you should be doing. So we understand what? Can anything else happen today? Anybody ask themselves that question?
I'm
transparent. I've asked myself, can anything else go wrong? I went to the church the other day to do some things I was supposed to be doing at the church. And the first day I was there was good. The second day I went there, and all of a sudden the window was out. And I'm like, oh, my God, upstairs. My first thought was, uh-oh, I got a little fight. Somebody break in the church? Had a window out. This is upstairs now. It ain't downstairs. Upstairs. Okay. And I didn't think logically at first. It's like, uh-oh, somebody must have been in here. So I proceeded with caution. When I get down to the end, guess what? The screen was just still in the window. Okay, nobody been in here. The wind with the storm just blew the window out. But I said, can anything else happen? How does this happen? But that's okay. It's back in. We're going to get it fixed in the story. But the first emotion was, who's in this place? Now, if you've never been in the church, y'all don't understand that the boiler makes noises. And when you're in the church all by yourself, you hear these noises.
My Lord.
Ding, 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 here and there. You, But I had to say to myself, wait a minute. I'm in God's house. Ain't nothing going wrong up in God's house.
My Lord.
So I had to rebuke what that thing was speaking to my amygdala, and then what? Walk on what God had told me to do.
Yes.
So, second point today, and we're going to be done soon. Is remember what Jesus did and what he says. But if you go to Romans, and I love this because when you go to Romans, Paul taught the story about what Jesus did for us. Jesus said what? We are different. And if you go to Romans 6, 4 through 7, he said, Jesus made us different. He says, wait a minute. He said, what say you then? Shall we continue to sin? No, he said, God forbid. But in verse 4, therefore what? We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also to walk in the newness of life. Because Jesus got up from the dead and was talking to them on the Emmaus Road and was speaking to them that he got up, we walk in the same way
because
we're dead to sin, but we're new in Christ. So don't let nobody tell you that you ain't no good. Don't let nobody tell you you ain't never going to mount to nothing. Don't let nobody tell you Corona going to get you, because here's the truth about Corona. You can die in a physical sense, but you live in a spiritual sense called Corona.
My God. Say on, preacher.
For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Because Jesus said, I'm going to die for you. And he died for us and for our sins. When he raised up, we are raised up as powerful individuals, walking in the light of the newness and walking with a light that we got power. Verse 6 and 7 says what? Knowing this, now that you know this, that your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
My God.
Stop saying that's just the way it is. Stop saying I'll always be like that.
Go ahead.
Some of you got testimonies. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't go to places I used to go.
My God.
I don't act like I used to act.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not weak like I used to be.
Yes.
I can't say the devil made me do it no longer. Because once I've accepted Christ, he can't make me do nothing.
Thank you, Jesus. I choose
to do it. Now, if I choose to do it, I have accountability. But he can't make me do nothing.
He can't make me talk about you. He can't make me slap you.
He can't make me deny you. He can't make me be fearful. He can't make me freeze. He can't make me do any of that. Because the Lord has given me a spirit to fight in the name of Jesus. And I know that I will be victorious.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you how good it gets. He said, this battle ain't even yours.
Oh God.
Because it's all about me. So be still and know the salvation of the Lord and watch me bring you out. The old folks say, once more and again, he did it again. Elevation Worship say, do it again. Do it again. I don't care whether you like Elevation Worship or the old folks, but God will do it again. Say, for he that is dead is free from sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes, I died to sin. Yes, I gave up my life. Yes, I surrendered to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I no longer am that sinful person. The Amidala has no control. You can't tell me that's how I'm going to operate, because the Spirit of God that bound you up, wrapped you up, and every time you try to make me afraid, the Spirit said, here's another dose. Another dose of the Holy Ghost, so you ain't afraid. Here's another dose. Oh, y'all know we take our daily medication. Pop Tylenol and all the rest.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And heart rest. Just another dose of Jesus and the Holy Ghost.
Give me another dose.
Gonna be all right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Tony. It's on its way. It's on its way. Look at verse 11 through 14. It says, likewise now, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead? Dead indeed. I mean, it ain't dead no more. To what? Jesus Christ. So this flesh that's got us, this flesh that we hold on to, this flesh that's got aches and pains is dead. I feel new every day. Why? Because his mercies are made new every day. So when I get up early in the morning and I didn't get enough rest, God's giving me another dose and I got some strength. When I get up and my leg might hurt or my back might be a little, that's all right. God, give me another dose so I can run on a little while longer. He said, what? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust. I wanted to watch that program, and it had scantily-clad women in it. No, it ain't pornography, but, you know, I could see a little something-something. I could see the guys with the something-something, and I could see all the drama with the something-something. Guess what? I don't want to watch that stuff no more. Because that stuff feeds my armadillo, and it feeds bad stuff in my brain, and I start thinking about it. But when I put on the newness of Christ, and
let that
stuff go, I won't be tempted with the lust of this physical body. I won't be tempted of the lust of the world. When I turn off the news this week, and once a day is enough, I won't be tempted to fear Corona. I won't be tempted to fear that the numbers are getting so large. Because those numbers, that's the numbers of Jesus. When Jesus said, "What? No man can number the number that's coming to be with me." And once you know it, you in that number and not any other number. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Say, neither yield. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that what are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness. We are not to be used for the world's pleasure. We are to be used by God.
Say on, preacher.
Let me tell you what that means. Let me tell you what that means. I don't think we got any surgeons on the car, right? surgeons have knowledge in their brain. But all surgeons, when they go to surgery, they've got tools that they use. They use a scalpel and they use the suction cups and they use a bit. And one of their major things today is now doing it what? Laparoscopically. They go in with a scope, but they got to know how to do it. Because if they hit the wrong thing when they're on the inside, something happens. Now, they will have you tell you that they just know everything. But I come to tell you, I don't trust the hand of the surgeon. I trust the CNI of God. So when they go in, they go to God. God is the one that shines the light on the end of the scope that guides them to exactly what's on the inside.
My God.
That's why somebody said what? They go and they say, wait a minute. We thought it was right there. Oh, you late, another surgeon. You cut me for nothing because my God already
Hallelujah.
Took it away. God wiped it over with his blood. So now I'm healed. Oh, you got the corona. You ain't going to make it. Wait a minute, brother doctor. You don't know. You can't even explain. But my God is the one that searched me out. My God is the one that watched over me. My God is the one who did the scan that your MRI machine got to do when I get there. But guess what? I was afraid to take the MRI. They had to dope me up to go into the machine. But my God had already seen what was going on with me. He had already told them, you got to go right here and stick right here. When you stick the needle right here, the pain don't go away. I said, look at my God. Say, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but thank under grace. Lord. Oh, hallelujah, right there we are.
Thank you,
Lord. We love our grace. We love grace. We love grace. We love grace for being saved. But we got to understand, grace is a sustainer. Grace is our food. Grace is our peace. Grace is our joy. Grace sustains us all the way through. So when we get a little weak, we need a little more grace.
Yes.
We need a little more Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is our grace, and we can keep going. And that ain't the end of the story. Look at verses 16 and through 18. And he says, what? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye to whom you obey, whether of sin unto
thank
death
you,
or of obedience unto righteousness? Uh-oh. It ain't nobody else's problem, y'all.
Yes.
You got to choose.
Yes.
You got to choose. So who do you obey today? Do you choose to obey Christ,
Jesus,
or do you choose to obey the world? Do you choose to stand in the confidence that God is good, or do you choose that you're going to stand in the doubt and fear and let your amygdala tell you you got to run and hide? Let your amygdala tell you that you're going to freeze because you don't know what to do. No, that's not the way it works. When the children of Israel left the promised land, he led them by day and he led them night.
They were
never left alone. When they came to a block in the road, which was first called the Red Sea, they had to choose to keep going across the sea, or they had to choose to see somebody back there. Remember, oh, Moses, you brought us here to die. Oh, no. Guys, he told God, what I do? God said, see that thing in your hand? Just stretch it forward and watch what I do. And he stretched it forward in the name of God. God parted the Red Sea. When they walked across the dry land, somebody was still working. Well, here comes Pharaoh across the road, too. He said, Pharaoh ain't going to get to you. Why? See, he closed it back up. Somebody said, Moses, here we go again. We out in the wilderness. We got no food. You brought us out here to die. God, he went to God and God said, wait a minute, Moses. Let me tell you what to do. 6 days, just eat it. 5 days, eat enough for just that day. On the sixth day, eat that day and pick it up for the next. Because the seventh day, you still got to rest. Somebody right now is wondering, how am I going to pay my bills? I can't work. My business is all but dried up. I don't know what I'm doing. They got more people in the unemployment line. But guess what? God ain't going to stop feeding them. God just say, just call on me.
Now,
if you don't know to call on Jesus, you got a trouble going on. Because you depend on everybody. But we ought to be telling them what? To call on Jesus. They're going to say, well, how do you know? Been there, done that, done got through.
My God.
Somebody was unemployed.
They
done got through. Somebody didn't have a job. They done got through. But you ain't never seen God's people begging for bread nor forsaken. God continues to provide.
Thank you, Lord.
What? We are dead to sin. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Ye were the servants of sin. Ye were, but ye have what? Obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which ye delivered. Being that made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I
thank
don't
you,
know
Lord.
About you. But on this Resurrection Sunday, once more again, somebody asked, "But didn't you hear? Didn't you hear? We're the chosen of the resurrected Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
Didn't you hear that you are a child of the King? Didn't you hear that you don't have to worry no more? Didn't you hear that Jesus said, I'm with you always, even until what? The ends of the earth. Didn't you hear that you don't have to fear what all these people are doing? Didn't you hear that my God said, I'll supply all you? Didn't you hear just today that somebody who used to believe said they didn't, now they back in the saddle? Did you hear somebody this day, after somebody prayed for me, I got no pain?
Hallelujah.
Did you hear somebody's been cured of corona? Did Jesus. You hear that we live forever? Did you hear they that are asleep are still going to rise?
God,
did you
my
hear
God.
That Jesus is in your house?
Amen.
Did you
Amen.
Hear?
Jesus.
Glory to God.
That all we got to do is know that worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy,
yes. Worthy is the Lamb.
My God.
See, the conflict is internal. The conflict is internal, and I'm going to be done with this and read the seventh chapter. I'm going to cut this off real quick, but read the seventh chapter of Romans. In verse 19, he says, the conflict is internal. He says, wait, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I ain't trying to fool nobody. You still going to have a war going on. When you're not supposed to doubt, you're going to doubt. You ain't supposed to go somewhere, you're going to go somewhere. That's the war going on. That's the war going on. That's the war going on. But in verses 23 to 25, but he said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of the sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes.
So then with the mind I myself, what? Serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, I don't know about you, but this body going to do what it's due. But my armadillo ain't going to make me serve my body. I've got a new anointing that changes who I am. So my mind and the spirit going to serve Jesus Christ. I don't care how many times I stumble and fall. I read the word that said, a just man falls seven times, but still get up. And it says what? That God said, I will not utterly cast him out. So though I stumble and I fall, though I talk on the man's way and say, didn't you hear it and have doubt?
Yes,
I know that
yes.
my Redeemer lives. I know that worthy is the Lamb. I know that my Savior got me. But then you got to go to verse chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, there is therefore what? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you do. If you love Jesus, nobody can condemn you. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free.
I'm free.
Somebody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. Just wave your hand. I just want to see you wave
I'm
your
free.
Hand and say, I'm free. If you just
oh, God,
know
I'm free.
Just say, I'm free. I don't know about you, but
yes,
I'm free.
I'm free
from the defeat of this world.
Free.
I'm free from running
I'm
and
free.
Hiding. I'm free from doubt. I'm free from not being a victory.
Hallelujah. I'm free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Isaiah, for waving your hand. Thank you, Lord God. I see you. Wave your hand because you are free. All of us are free. Thank you, Lord. Because we're
Hallelujah.
Free, we come today. Because we're free, we're going to come today and we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, which is a reminder of who we are. And understand that in the book of Luke, when he got down at the end and he had gone back, they said, what? They asked Jesus to come in. See, after they had walked on the way, they had walked on the road, it had gotten down about nighttime, and y'all know nighttime represents challenges in our lives. The darkness represents the challenges. They said, wait a minute, it's about night. You done talked with us, and you done explained it. You got to come in and sup with us. See, so in your darkness, you got to see the spiritual implication that when we face darkness and we face temptation, you got to ask Jesus to come on in, come on in the room. When you ask Jesus to come in, all the darkness that's around you, all the doubts that's around you, you begin to see that Jesus lights up the place. Your office ain't got no lights, but he lights up the place. Your mind don't think you can make it, but he lights up the place. So all in the name of Jesus, just watch how it comes. Thank you. All in the name of Jesus, just watch how it happens. So just ask him to come on. Come on and sup with us. Come on in the room. So did you ask Jesus to inhabit your house while you've been locked down? Oh, maybe you didn't think about it, but ask Jesus for a special anointing of locking down your house. so that he can open up your house.
My God.
Hallelujah. 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 So today, he said in Luke, and we're going to wrap up with this one. He said in Luke, then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, and this is when Jesus had reappeared to all the disciples. Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. He said, ye are witnesses of all these things. His name has gone to all ends of the world. His name stands in China and Korea and the United States and in Russia. I saw a video the other day of these Korean men just singing the gospel.
Yeah.
Because it's gone through all ends of the nation and we sing the gospel. And ye, each of you are witnesses of all these things. And we need to tell those who are in darkness who they are.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So as we come now, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just want to share something to you, with you. On last week, we had a prophetess who was on the phone with, on our call, on the service with us.
Yes.
At the end, when we invited Minister Lisa to pray, she said, I just need to say something. Destiny, I want you to know how God is watching over you.
My God.
As he watches over us, and she began to pray and prophesy. She spoke specific prophecy over Sister Rogers and I. Right. Never met her, never seen her, never talked to her.
My God.
And she spoke into existence God's healing of the things that we were dealing with.
Yes.
To specific parts of
God.
The body.
Yes, God.
That only God could have revealed to her.
Hallelujah.
And God told me to tell you the reason he did that is so you know, without a doubt, he's watching over all of us.
Yeah, man.
As he watched over Moses and he watched over David and he watches over every pastor and every prophet and everyone who designed that they might be encouraged, that they might not give up. We watch over you the exact same way.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
And God showed up to remind us that he's still in the blessing business. He showed up to remind us that I know everything, even when I started to get a little weary.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
All I could say was, yes, Lord.
My God.
That
my
you
God.
Could read me like that, Lord God. That you could read our situation. That you could read the depths of what's going through our mind, but nobody else knows. God said, I told you I know all about it.
Yes.
I just want you to remind you that, see, when I know, I tell other folks so that they know what to pray for.
My
but
God.
It's really to let you know that I got this.
Yes.
So now as we come to this portion to remember what the Lord has done for us.
My God.
Remember how on that day they crucified my Savior.
Jesus.
Remember how they whipped him and they beat him and his blood was shed. Remember how he yet when he was going through his own pain,
remember,
he did not lose sight of his mission.
Hallelujah.
Don't lose sight of your mission.
My
yet
God.
While he was hanging on the cross with the world of the weight on his shoulders between two thieves who deserved to die.
My God.
Yet when one of them tried to challenge him, oh, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and us, trying to get in on the coattails without any decision being made.
My God.
Said,
my
no,
God.
I don't respond to that. But yet when the other thief, he said, I deserve, he said, but you don't, he said, just for me, he said, this day, at the last hour, this day, before I die, you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody, yet on a deathbed, still needs to hear that Jesus is still there.
Yes,
they can accept the salvation of our Lord.
Yes.
So don't think that everybody got it, y'all. Some of your friends that you know, they talk about it, but they ain't got it.
My God.
They've been acting. You need to ask, do you believe in Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes.
All right.
And then went on to die. But just like he said, he got up.
Hallelujah.
He was on the Emmaus Road. Yeah. Jesus. There he went to where the disciples were afraid and the disciples were hiding. He showed himself. And yet, why Jesus was right there in front of them. Some still didn't believe. He said, that's all right. That's all right. He said, give me some fish to eat. And he ate it because, see, ghosts can't eat nothing. And he was not a ghost. He was real in human flesh. And he consumed the food.
Thank you, Lord.
And he
taught
them some other stuff. And yet, while he's going to heaven, he still lives because he lives in each and every. Because he lives in us, we still eat and we still drinking, we still dining, we still operating the same miracles and the same prophets and the same prophecies and the same power that he gave us. Yet while he's gone to heaven, he still exists with the Holy Ghost today to say, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
I shall feed you. In the name of Jesus, I will deliver you. And that's, oh, by the way, there's the rest of the story. The rest of the story says, I'm coming back to get you.
Yes, yes.
Jesus is on his way back.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is on his way back. So as we come and we prepare it, if you got the communion cups, hallelujah. If you didn't, use whatever you might have at home. This is symbolic. We're just thankful to the Lord. But as we go, we remember this Resurrection Sunday.
Yes.
Remember his body that was broken, his body that was shed, the blood that was shed, that he did this to pay the price for our sin debts.
Yes, God.
Amen. That you can say to yourself,
yes,
he
God
did it just for me.